Friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On the church calendar, there are not two Sundays next to each other with the same meaning, with the same impact, and with the same joy as Palm Sunday and Easter. Two highlights of the church year. That triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, where Jesus, riding humbly on that donkey, was greeted with shouts of Hosanna. And then, of course, the life-changing, world-changing, universe-changing events of Easter. Two Sundays back to back. The worry, of course, is that we go from joy to joy, from good to good, until neither are quite as good or great as they could be. For we miss out on the whole story. This week, we will gather on Maundy Thursday. We will read John's gospel. We will wash feet on Friday. We will gather. We will walk the stations of the cross. We will remember what was at stake on that day so long ago. But even if you do both of those things, in the church's lectionary cycle, there is no way to put what happens between Sunday and Thursday into worship. There are some key teachings of Jesus that happened during that time that we do encounter through the rest of the year, but if you take them out of the context of this week, I think they change. So first of all, after that triumphant entrance, where do we find Jesus for this week? Well, if we remember back to the Gospel of Matthew, remember that gospel where Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple when he was a young man, and they left, and somehow they left Jesus behind, right? And they got worried, and they went back to look for Jesus, and they found him. They found him in the temple. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "Mom, Dad, of course I would be here. Where else would I be?" So in that final week, the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus was in the temple every day, all day long, teaching. Luke tells us then he was in the evening, he was out in the Mount of Olives praying and recharging, teaching and praying. What was he teaching? Here's what he was teaching. The first of those teachings that we get in Luke's gospel is that question about give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's. Often we think about that through the lens of taxes or money or something. But think about it in the context of Holy Week. For Caesar and his powers, the powers of earth would put Jesus up there on the cross. They were the ones who would try to put him to death, to put all this thing out, and well, the power of God. We're going to get to that next week, right? The power of resurrection. So in this story of Jesus in Jerusalem, you could look at that as merely a question of do you pay your taxes or not? Or maybe you could look at that first teaching as to who do you really want to be loyal to? The powers of this world that seem so strong, seem so in control, seem to have everything in hand, or the powers of God that makes all things possible? Maybe that's something to think about this week. The second teaching that Jesus goes into, he brings his disciples to the temple. And he has them all stand there and watch as people come up and put their offering in the box. And he points out the widow who is poor, the widow who has nothing, and yet the widow who puts everything into that box, everything into that box. And so often we look at that as a way of offering, as a way of how much should we give to the church. And yes, that matters. But in the context of Holy Week, Jesus telling this story, think about what he is about to give. And so that message turns from how much to what is fully and truly sacrificial. The final parable that Jesus offers in the Gospel of Luke shows up in Holy Week too. And you know what it has to do with? That fig tree. Jesus tells this parable. He says that fig tree, remember the tree that represents Israel? That tree that represents the people of God? He says that tree that was not blossoming, that the owner said, cut down. Jesus says, that tree, it's about to burst forth with new life. Now, doesn't that change if you hear it through the story of Holy Week? Jesus chose to spend the last of his days, of course, where he would want to be, in the temple in the day and praying at night. And here's what I know. In Jerusalem, there was no benign reaction to Jesus. There was no one who simply shrugged and said, eh, whatever. There was a great group of people. The gospel tells us this, a great group of people who heard him preaching, who heard him teaching, and their hearts were set on fire, and they were willing to follow him even at risk to themselves. And of course, there was another group of people who listened to this radical teaching of Jesus, who listened to this Jesus say, you got to change your whole life, not just the superficial parts, but all of it. And there were power structures that got nervous and afraid and angry. There was no benign reaction. And I worry sometimes in this time and place, we go from Palm Sunday to Easter so caught up with everything going on in the world, it becomes one big benign reaction. So this week, come on Monday, Thursday, come on Good Friday. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. But spend the rest of this week thinking about Jesus' teaching, thinking about the way he wants us to live, thinking about whether we can answer that call. I promise you, when you come here for Easter Sunday, it will be an Easter unlike any you have ever experienced. So here's what I want you to do. Now, open your hearts and open your minds to hear how the story of Jesus in Jerusalem unfolds starting on Thursday of that fateful week.